Alrighty, welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast, and I'm your host, Mike Wobschall, coming to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn. We have a jam-packed show coming up for you today. We're going to get into Brian Baldinger's top three underrated defenses. We're going to get into a part of the Vikings' underrated defense that was rated quite well by SI.com. We'll get into some Bud Grant, Buddy Ryan talk. Of course, Buddy Ryan recently passing away, RIP to a defensive legend in the NFL. Some Vikings personnel news, and of course, your fan mail to wrap up the show. But first, we're going to talk about something that's fun to talk about. That's U.S. Bank Stadium. There's been some news regarding the Vikings and U.S. Bank Stadium this week. The Vikings this week announced the name of the man who will announce names at U.S. Bank Stadium. We give credit to our very own Craig Peters, our senior writer on staff here with the Vikings Entertainment Network, who had that creative beginning to an article that talks about Alan Roach, a Minnesota native who will be the public address announcer at U.S. Bank Stadium. This is what Alan sounds like.
Now let's take you back to Wembley and public address announcer Alan Roach.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Grammy Award-winning artist and songwriter Neo.
Now to the PA announcer Alan Roach.
A Detroit-born artist who has become one of the most beloved and enduring musical performers in history. Five-time Grammy-winning country artist, Faith Hill. Academy Award winner and four-time Grammy nominee, Jennifer Hudson.
PA announcer Alan Roach.
Joining us in the coin toss ceremony are Super Bowl greats. From Super Bowl 13, Lynn Swann. From Super Bowl 33, John Elway. The National Football League presents the Bridgestone Super Bowl 43 Halftime Show. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rolling Stones.
Okay, Minnesotans, Nate, as you know, Minnesotans like their own. Alan Roach is one of us. Now, you're one of us because you're from the Midwest, but you're
I'm
from Iowa.
Adopted one of us.
Yeah, so you're kind of not quite one of us. Alan Roach is fully one of us. He was born in Slayton, Minnesota, which is a three-hour drive southwest of U.S. Bank Stadium, but he spent his high school days in Brainerd when his family moved there. He worked at what is called Grandview Lodge in Brainerd and says that he caught Vikings games on the TVs in the lodges when he was working there. That's how he became a big-time Vikings fan, so that's pretty cool. Do you like his voice?
I do.
It's
I mean,
smooth.
How can you not?
It is smooth. And I think football fans should recognize his voice because he's done a lot of cool things for the NFL and in the football industry. But Alan, in the article that Craig wrote about this, Alan says that that being the PA for U.S. Bank Stadium, being the PA announcer for U.S. Bank Stadium is the coolest thing I'm about to ever do.
And he's done some cool things.
Yeah, and I think that's notable because he's done a lot of really impressive things. His resume is outstanding. As Craig chronicles in the story, Alan Roach most recently worked for the Denver Broncos, Colorado Avalanche, and Colorado Rockies. He's done four Winter Olympics, 02, 06, 2010, and 2014. He's also worked in multiple capacities for the NFL, including eight Super Bowls and a combination of Pro Bowls, NFL drafts, and Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremonies. So for a guy who's done so much and so much that has been so cool, calling being the PA announcer at U.S. Bank Stadium the coolest thing he's about to ever do is pretty notable. Now, in case people are starting to freak out, our guy, Paul Allen, is still calling games for the Vikings on the radio.
Right.
This is the voice inside the stadium.
Right.
Like, ladies and gentlemen, singing the national anthem, four-time Grammy Award winner Nate Vaughn.
I don't know about that, but it's kind of interesting. It must have been a close competition between you and him.
Yeah, I put my name in the mix, but they went with Alan Roach instead, so I won't quit my day job. So anyway, when U.S. Bank Stadium makes its football debut on August 28th, with the Vikings hosting the Chargers. You will hear Alan Roach if you are in the building, and it will be actually the second time that Roach has been the PA announcer for a Vikings game, because he was the Vikings 2013 International Series game PA announcer when the Vikings played the Steelers in London. So
very cool
thing. So congrats to Alan Roach. Congrats to the Vikings, because this is a good get for the Vikings. And Vikings fans who go to Vikings games at US Bank Stadium, you will recognize this voice and you will appreciate this voice. An iconic voice in an iconic building at US Bank Stadium. Good news. All right. I found this one curious, Nate. Brian Baldinger's top three underrated defenses. And, you know, we're including this in the show, obviously, because either the Vikings were not included in it or were included in it. That's when we bring these things up. It's like, hey, they recognized all these great things and we weren't one of them, so what the heck? Or, hey, they recognized these great things and we were in it, so let's talk about it.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about an article that has the Tennessee Titans wide receivers ranked.
No, right. You know, so, underrated defenses, Brian Baldinger has us at number three. Here's his case.
It's that time of the year that you've all been waiting for. Baldy's top three most underrated defenses in the NFL. Let's start at number three and let's go to the Great White North. What Mike Zimmer has done in Minnesota has been phenomenal in 2 years. When he came in, they were the 31st ranked defense in the NFL. They've jumped to number 13, and last year, after 2 years, the number five rated defense in football. That means the fifth fewest points allowed. And ultimately, that's what it's all about, with good young players at every position. You think about Everson Griffin and Sharif Floyd and Anthony Barr, the defensive line, you know, and Kendricks, that middle linebacker, and then, you know, Xavier Rhodes and Matt Smith. You know, this is a group that has talent and youth at every position, and Mike Zimmer has gotten these guys to play well. I don't think they get the credit they deserve. They are underrated.
Now, I wouldn't have said that I think the Vikings defense is underrated. I feel like they get pretty good pub.
That sounds kind of like a take from a year or two ago, to be honest.
But we appreciate Baldy. Thank you. One thing notable about that, though, is he has Houston as the number one underrated defense. Again, he's not saying Houston is the number one defense in the NFL. He's saying they're the most underrated. And we play Houston this year. J.J. Watt, I'm not sleeping on Jadeveon Clowney. Jonathan Joseph, a really good corner that Houston has. That's part of the reason why I don't think Houston is an easy game for the Vikings this season. And I don't think the AFC South is an easy game for the Vikings this season. This is a division that Houston won at 9-7 last year. Indy was 8-8. Jacksonville 5-11. Tennessee 3-13. So that looks terrible. But I think this is a team in Houston that's better than their record last year indicated. And I think this is a division that will be better next year than it was last year. Andrew Luck didn't play for much of the year, and that's why Indy was 8-8. I think Jacksonville is on the rise, and I think Tennessee is on the rise. Jacksonville and Tennessee last year combined for 8 wins. Jacksonville 5-11, Tennessee 3-13. One or both of those teams could win 8 games by themselves this year. So I think this is a division on the rise, and I think Houston will be a tough foe for the Vikings in 2016, largely because of their defense. All right, let's drill deeper. Natural segue here from a Vikings defense that Brian Baldinger says is underrated to a member of that defense. SI.com ranked 4-3 outside linebackers, and Nate, one of your favorite players, landed at number 3 on this list.
Is Pernell McPhee in the top 3?
What is that?
What about Clay Matthews?
Come on.
No. DeAndre Levy?
What is it with you today?
How about Anthony Barr?
Yes. There you go. Anthony Barr makes the list at number 3. Pro Football Focus graded. Now, this was an SI.com list, and they have Anthony Barr at number 3. But within the write-up, they cite a Pro Football Focus grade where Anthony Barr comes in as the NFL's top pass-rushing 4-3 linebacker, the third best outside linebacker in coverage, and above average against the run. His development has been swift and impressive. So SI.com ranks Anthony Barr as number 3. The two guys ahead of Anthony Barr, number 2, Lavonte David, and number 1, Jamie Collins, they are studs, and they are ahead of Anthony Barr. So pretty solid group of 3 linebackers right
there. Yeah, you're going to have a hard time arguing anybody above those 2 linebackers at the top, too.
Lavonte David, really good in pass coverage as a linebacker. Jamie Collins, a good all-around player. We saw that for ourselves a couple of years ago. Jamie Collins, really good, and he's gotten even better since then. You know, my thing on Anthony Barr, and, you know, we always think about offensive players that defenses game plan around, right? So like Calvin Johnson, you know, you always kind of focus your game plan on him, double teaming him in the red zone or double teaming him on third down, whatever it might be. I think Anthony Barr is the defensive version of that. I think as an offense, when you go into a game, you're like, all right, let's figure out what 55 is doing, where he's going to be.
And we saw, even when plays aren't necessarily scripted to or away from him, just him making plays when plays might not even have seemed to be there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about Atlanta, the game where he chased down Tevin Coleman, like ran almost the entire field, outran him, punched the ball out from behind, from what would have been probably a touchdown, turned into a turnover in Vikings first and 10.
On a play that he was on the ground, he was blocked and was on the ground as Coleman went by him, gets up, sprints down the sideline, catches him, has a presence of mind to punch the ball out. Yeah, huge play in that game. Special play. And I think if you want to show someone who's never watched Anthony Barr play, what can Anthony Barr do? Why does Mike Zimmer think he can be special? I think you show him that play. And that would pretty much explain it. Also on the list, at number 10, Telvin Smith. I'll go from 10 all the way through 1. Telvin Smith of Jacksonville, Vontaze Burfict in Cincinnati, DeAndre Levy in Detroit, tackling machine, K.J. Wright in Seattle, Dante Hightower of the Patriots, Thomas Davis makes the list of the Carolina Panthers, the ageless, the indestructible Thomas Davis, Sean Lee of Dallas at 4, Barr at 3, and then Levante David at 2, and Jamie Collins at 1. So impressive list, and really cool that Anthony Barr is on there. A man who knows a lot about defenses, Nate, Bud Grant.
That's true.
He knew his thing when it came to defense. Well, a defensive legend, a defensive mastermind, has passed away this week, and that was Buddy Ryan, the father, of course, of Rex and Rob Ryan. So current football fans know Rex and Rob Ryan. Well, their dad was Buddy Ryan. And, of course, Buddy Ryan was one of the architects of the Chicago Bears defense in the mid-'80s that just dominated and led the franchise to a Super Bowl victory in 1985. It was called the Bear defense. It was the 4-6 defense, referred to as a couple of different things. But Buddy Ryan knew his stuff when it came to defense. He was the head coach of the Eagles and the Cardinals in the late 80s and early to mid 90s, but most known for being the mastermind of the Bears defense in the mid 80s. He was also, though, a Vikings defensive line coach for 2 seasons in 1976 and 1977, which was basically the end of the Purple People Eater reign. So Buddy Ryan kind of had his hand in one of the better time periods of Vikings football. And so it was appropriate for former Vikings head coach Bud Grant to talk a little bit about Buddy Ryan, which he did on Sirius XM NFL Radio earlier in the week.
Bud Grant, Hall of Fame head coach with the Minnesota Vikings, takes a couple minutes to join us here on the program. Buddy Ryan, an assistant line coach for Coach Grant in the 1976 and 77 seasons. And Coach Grant joins us here on the guest line. Coach Bob Papa, Ross Tucker, thanks for a couple minutes this morning. How are you?
Well, good. Good. Still around.
There you go, Coach. Always good to talk with you. Can you just walk us through, Coach, you know, exactly how you hired Buddy and how that went down? I know previously you had been with the Jets before he came to you.
Well, that's a long time ago. And the actual circumstances of hiring Buddy, I'm not sure of. We needed a coach, and you know, there's a kind of a fraternity, you know, that you know of coaches, and you met coaches at different affairs, and I knew Buddy briefly, but when I interviewed him, we weren't really on the same page right away, because Buddy, you know, had a lot of ideas about defense and the 46 defense, which he had already in his mind had it set up and how to run it. And I told him when I talked to him, I said, Buddy, you know, we've got a pretty good defense. You know, our defense is, you know, we got Marshall, Aller, Page, Larson, and we just take off. We don't do all the blitzes and stunning and all the things that you're talking about. If you want a job, you know, I would like to have you. And we talked about it. We got along, and Buddy said, well, fine, I can work under those circumstances. I don't have to use my defense or use your defense. I said, well, that's fine. I like that. So we got along good, and he didn't try to, you know, put in something that we didn't have in place because we had a pretty good ball club at that time. We got along great. And he brought some insight into defense. And I always like to hire somebody that knows more than I do. And Buddy certainly did in that area.
It's interesting, Coach, because we were talking about the 85 Bears as an all-time great defense, and people were bringing up, you know, the 2000 Ravens or 2002 Bucks or the Steelers or whatever.
Yeah.
And somebody called up and said, hey, you're forgetting about the 71-72 Vikings and talked about some of the statistics. And they said, why don't you think that they get as much credit as they deserve? And I said, probably, you know, because that team didn't end up winning the Super Bowl. Does it bother you, Coach, that maybe some of the teams you had don't quite get the recognition that they deserve for how dominant, especially defensively, they really were?
No, it doesn't bother me. I mean, you got to go back to different eras. I mean, you know, this eras in football or any sport. And in those days, you know, we had regional television. We didn't have national television. In other words, the Midwestern teams were not showing on the West Coast and the East Coast, except when we played one of those teams. So we didn't get the exposure that a lot of, you know, the teams later did and the great defenses that came after us. But we were a dominant defense in our era. Now, you're correct when you say if we'd have won a Super Bowl in that era, we went to four of them, but we didn't win any of them, they'd have probably been more, you know, recognition for the defense we had. But statistically, if you want to go that route, you know, our defense was as dominant as there ever was a defense. We just didn't win the Super Bowl to get the recognition or the exposure that some of these teams get today.
We're talking with Bud Grant, Hall of Fame coach, reminiscing a little bit about Buddy Ryan. Coach, you know, we've talked a lot about, and hopefully this show brings to light a little bit for fans that maybe don't know, and we can educate them a little bit about how great the Purple People Eaters were and that defense that you had. What were some of the things about that defense that you could share with our audience that made them unique and special?
Well, it certainly wasn't the coaching. You know, you win with players. And we happened to have, you know, went through a cycle. We had some great players. Now, the other thing, go back a little further, I hired another coach before that, I came from Canada, of course, and my coaching experience prior to coming to the Vikings, and we started using the zone. Now, those days, mostly it was man-for-man defenses. But Jimmy Carr, I hired another coach that knew more than I did about defense, and he employed the zone, and So we went to a zone defense, and remember we used to have a free safety, they used to call it, and we could rush four guys and put the pressure on the quarterback and, you know, and then we could sit back in a zone. Well, in that zone defense, we had a safety like by the name of Paul Krause, who holds a record for interceptions, 82 interceptions, playing free safety. You never hear that anymore, but that was in that era. That was a different era, and we went into it. We were the first team maybe to use zone exclusively, and with the four-man rush, we didn't have to blitz and do all of the different things that Buddy brought to the table and did exceptionally well with. And so that was just a different era, and we were fortunate to have the personnel to play the way that we did in that time. And I think Pittsburgh employed that a lot too.
You know, I'm curious, Coach. You bring up a good point about, you know, scheme and players and coaches, and you hired Buddy Ryan as a D-line coach. You know, for the listeners that probably don't even know the name of the position coaches for their team right now, just because those guys don't ever get talked about on TV, can you tell them, Coach, just how important individual position coaches can be to the success of a unit?
Well, now we're talking another different era. If you go over the rosters or the coaches today, you'll find that there are maybe – I don't know the exact numbers of exact teams, but I say there are upwards of 20 assistant coaches. Now, when I started coaching, I coached everything, you know, and then we gradually went into more assistant coaches. But The most we ever had were seven, and we had six for a lot of years, and then we brought in a kicking coach. But other than that, you know, we did our staffs were not as big as they are now. Now with computers and everything, I don't know why they need so many coaches. You know, you can push a button now and you can see what we used to do by hand and you know, reels of film. And now you just push a button and you get, you know, what does the team do on third down behind by 3 points in the third quarter on the left hash mark? Well, we had to do all that by hand. And the assistant coaches had to do that. To be very honest with you, I don't know what all those coaches do today. Because there's probably an average of 20 assistant coaches on every team. I mean, they got a linebacker coach and then they got an assistant linebacker coach. And you know, you don't have to recruit. So I would find it a little difficult to manage all those coaches like these teams have today. Now, that's not to say that they're not important and they don't earn their money, but it's a little different. Again, you can't compare eras, you know, and whatever sports you're in. We're in an era today where with the sophistication of the technology that we have, I don't know what all the coaches do. I don't know how they employ them.
Because they have the money, Coach. I think because they have the money to spend on something, and if they think maybe they'll get a little bit of an advantage, then they're going to hire a guy to do some type of additional film breakdown, I guess.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you say they got the money. And if I remember trying to think of the coach that St. Louis coach who hired all these coaches, actually head coaches, Vermeil, and he's the guy that started all that by hiring a lot of coaches. The more coaches you have, now maybe you feel more comfortable if you got a lot of coaches around you. I just felt the opposite. I felt that some of the decision making you made were taken away from you by a consensus of coaches, and a different era. And today is very successful, and we can't complain about it, and they earn their money, I guess.
Coach, when Coach Ryan left the Vikings, he stayed in the division, became the defensive coordinator in Chicago against the Bears. You had to go against that defense, and especially in 1985 when they went on to win the Super Bowl. What was it about that defense that Buddy had created or that Buddy had perfected in conjunction with the personnel that he had that made it unique, at least for the time?
Well, your players got to buy into it. And Buddy had the personality to run that defense. Now, he and Ditka didn't get along very well. You know, I don't know if they even spoke at the end there. But Buddy ran the defense, and the players bought into it. And that's part of your scheme. Your players got to buy it. Also, they went through a period when they had great personnel. It's hard to retain the personnel, you know, for 10 years. I think probably Pittsburgh did the best job with Chuck Noll there with their team for maintaining the quality of play that they had. But most teams can't stay on top forever. And Buddy went in there at the right time, and Ditka, to his credit, you know, let Buddy run it, and he did. Then he sold the players on it. It's kind of a little friction there because Buddy was getting more credit than Ditka was, but their defense was great. They had the personnel that Buddy, and that's why he went to Chicago, I'm sure, because he could see that, and he could put in his 46 system, which he had, you know, we talked about, and that had the personnel for it. And he went to the right spot and did a great job.
Coach, how would you describe the 46 system?
Well, it's a scheme where you move a lot of people around. And, you know, the idea is the offense never knows where they're coming from. And even though and I can't go into the details of it, I'm too old now to remember half of that stuff. But he moved people around and kept the offense on on their toes as to where everybody was coming from and how to block all those schemes he had. And he had it perfected so that it was not a straight line of you do this, you do that. It was a multiple defense. You never knew where everybody was coming from. You never knew the lineups. They were head up, inside, outside, what the stunts were, what the blitzes were. And it sounds complicated, but when Buddy got it installed, it worked. And he got the personnel like anything else. You can have great ideas, but if you don't have a guy that can throw the ball or catch the ball or run the ball or make tackles, you're not going to win anyway. So he went in the right situation, and he had the personality to do that. I mean, Buddy's an engaging kind of a guy, and we always had a lot of fun with him. I'm sure you've talked to other people that have great stories about Buddy, but he was just a great guy and went to the right spot and did a great job, and his whole career was a success.
Coach, how'd the yard sale go this year?
Who?
The yard sale.
Hey, I should have done that for years instead of coaching. Yeah, you know, the yard sale, it's taken on a life of its own. It's a lot of fun. And you know, I got a big family. I got 19 grandchildren. I got 12 great grandchildren. They all live right here, and it's a yard sale, you know, in my name at my house, but it's a family affair. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Wait a minute, how many grandchildren and great grandchildren?
I got 19 grandchildren and 12 great grandchildren.
That is fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, yeah, just last weekend I had 3 great grandchildren up the lake, 4, 6, and 8 guys, and we were fishing and doing all the things that great grandchildren do. I'm going through another phase of my life, from children to grandchildren, now I'm into great grandchildren.
And so do you buy 36 season tickets now for the new Viking Stadium, Coach, so that they all have their own seat?
Well, no, we don't. I got some seats, but I got a chart, and I got to sign up. You know, when can we try to make it even so everybody gets to, you know, to go? We got this new stadium now that's going to be fantastic. Of course, everybody wants to go, so we got a chart, and you got to sign up and, you know, that sort of thing. So it's I run a family resort is what I do.
Coach, we appreciate you taking the time, as always, to join us. It is great. You know, I want to ask you one more question before we go. The new stadium, do you think the Vikings, they're having played inside at the Metrodome and now at this new stadium, do you feel like they've lost a little bit of an edge? You guys were so acclimated and felt like psychologically you beat teams sometimes just knowing that they were going to be cold.
Well, I don't know that in today. It might have been the case years ago. Not today. I mean, there are a lot of venues now that are absolutely gorgeous inside and outside. You go to Green Bay, where's a better place to play a football game than a Lambeau Field and outdoors? And yet you go to our stadium, now you're going to be another entertainment center, you got to call it. They're not stadiums anymore. You know, the stadiums are constructed so that they can use it for many other venues or many other sports. I mean, and I think I don't know what the numbers are, but I think they said our stadium is going to be occupied about 300 days a year for anything from car shows to, you know, to soccer games to baseball games, and it's going to be multiple uses for it. It's not a stadium anymore; it's an entertainment center. They have all kinds of meeting rooms and amenities around the stadium, whether you can shop and eat and do everything. So we can't call them stadiums anymore. They're entertainment centers with a football field.
That's a great way of putting it. Coach, we appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy your 4th of July weekend, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for thinking of me and calling me, and good luck to you guys.
Before we get to some of your mail, let's get into some Vikings personnel news, and not players, but some of the actual Vikings staff. We want to congratulate a couple of people on their promotions. The Vikings, earlier in the week, announced the promotion of 2 employees in the football personnel department. Scott Kuhn, who's been here for 10 seasons. He arrived in 2007 as a pro scout. He's been named the director of analytics and is still a pro scout. So you've heard a lot about analytics entering the game of football, and you've heard Rick Spielman talk about it quite a bit. Well, the Vikings now have a director of analytics. They promoted from within, and Scott Kuhn will be that director of analytics. So congratulations to him, and congratulations to Ann Deppner, who is promoted from manager of football administration to director of football administration. Ann joined the club as an executive assistant back in 06. She's been promoted a couple of times. She works closely with Spielman, George Payton, Rob Brzezinski to make sure the Vikings are in compliance with the salary cap and the collective bargaining agreement. So she's a hardworking gal, a cool person. Congratulations to her on a well-deserved promotion. And congratulations to Nate and I, because now we get to answer fan mail. Some people get promoted and do really important jobs like salary cap compliance, and Nate and I are going to answer some fan mail.
Some people collect questions from the internet.
Right.
And talk about
that. That's what we do.
On that note, we'll just get started.
But we're happy to do it.
That we are.
So.
Number one.
Yeah.
This is from Jack. He says, Teddy gets the brunt of the critics for poor offensive movement. Norv Turner has not exactly displayed an aggressive game plan and somewhat obvious play calling. Were the former head coaches who were added to the Vikings staff, Shermer and Sperano, hired to bring in a future plan to spice up the offense?
Okay. Interesting question, because the thing with what Norv did last year with the offense, this question is kind of critical of Norv, I think, and not in a mean way, but the point that that Jack is getting to is, were these former offensive-minded head coaches brought on to correct something or to help with something? Well, I don't think it's an indictment on Norv. I actually give Norv a lot of credit for what he did offensively last season, which I know some people are going to drive off the road after they hear that, but you know, I think what happened was you lost two of your starting offensive linemen right before the season, and to no one's surprise then, you struggled with some pass protection issues. And so the Vikings ended up leading the league in rushing attempts and having the fewest passing attempts in the league. That is certainly not the plan going into the season. Obviously, when you're preparing and you're in training camp and you're installing plays and you're getting guys ready and you're training guys at positions, you're not thinking, all right, we're going to go in there and we're going to run the ball 400 plus times this year and we're only going to pass it like, you know, 300 times. Like you're trying to be as balanced as you can. But the Vikings encountered pass protection issues at times, and so they had to adjust. While that was happening on offense, the defense was playing really well. In fact, was the number 5 scoring defense in the NFL, was number 4, I believe, on third downs and in the red zone. So I really give the coaching staff, not just Norv, I give Zimmer and Norv and all the coaches a lot of credit for what they did on offense, adjusting their strategy in the middle of the season to say, hey, here's the deal. We have Adrian Peterson, who's leading the league in rushing. We have a great rushing attack, and we have a great defense, and we have a special teams group that's really helping us win the field position battle. So we're going to play to our strengths here. We're going to let our defense and special teams win the field position battle and keep the opponent off the board, and we're going to rely on our running game to chew up clock, to move the chains, and put up enough points to win games. And at the end of the day, the Vikings won 11 games with the number 5 scoring defense in the NFL, a really good special teams group, and an offense that had the fewest 3 and outs in the NFL. So I know a lot of people want to rip the offense, but they had the offense had the leading rusher in the NFL, the 4th best rushing offense as a whole in the NFL, and had the fewest 3 and outs in the NFL, and was part of a team that won 11 games. So I don't think anything was an indictment on Norv Turner. Anything that happened in the offseason was an indictment on Norv Turner. I do think, though, that the additions of Sperano and Shermer are aimed at being more creative on offense, because they bring with them different experiences and different ideas. Maybe Shermer has a little more creativity with the quarterback being out of the gun, and maybe Coach Sperano can help with the quarterback being under center, or vice versa. I don't know however they want to structure it. I just think you get two more impressive offensive minds in the room, join with Norv Turner and Scott Turner and George Stewart and all those guys, and I just think it creates a better coaching staff that is improved and that should yield some offensive improvement.
Gavin wants to know how you would grade the Vikings offseason in terms of gaining offensive talent to complement the current batch. And do you see the Vikings signing any free agents after training camp to pad the roster a little bit?
I love the Vikings offseason. Do you?
Yeah. No, it's kind of slow right now. It's kind of sleepy right now.
But. No, but I'm saying like what they did this offseason.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, sure. Draft, you think you're so free smart. Agency, yeah, sure.
Okay. Alex Boone.
Yeah. I'll
like
take
that.
It.
That's
take
good,
it.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Bring Greenway back, but also sign Emmanuel Lemur.
Yep.
Draft Kentrell Brothers. I like that. Lose Mike Wallace, but draft a receiver in the first round. I think that's what Vikings fans wanted. They wanted a receiver in the first round. So I like that. re-sign some key guys. Anderson Dejo, who can compete at safety and who is a core special teams player. Re-sign Mike Harris, who started every game last year.
Oh, yeah, and Harrison Smith, too.
Oh, we re-signed someone named Harrison Smith, who's an all right player. So I like the Vikings offseason, how it went. How would you grade the Vikings offseason in terms of gaining offensive talent? Okay, but focusing specifically on the offense to complement the current batch. Well, Alex Boone is a win. I mean, he's going to start at left guard. He's been a really good player for the 49ers, and offensive line was an area that definitely needed to be addressed. So I love that. I love how the Vikings are sitting on the left side with Khalil and DeBoone. At center, you bring back Berger, who Pro Football Focus graded as the best center in the NFL last year. And then now John Sullivan is healthy, so those two will compete. You re-sign Mike Harris. You move Fusco from left guard to right guard. And you have a competition at right tackle between another free agent signing and Andre Smith, who started a bunch of games for Cincinnati over the last 5 years. And then Phil Loadholt comes back from injury. And, oh, by the way, a guy who started 17 games as a rookie last year, TJ Clemmings, he's going to be in the mix, too, as a starting right tackle or a swing left and right tackle. So Treadwell added to the mix at wide receiver. It wasn't working out with Mike Wallace, so you replace one Ole Miss receiver with another Ole Miss receiver in Laquon Treadwell. I like that. Hopefully Rhett Ellison can get healthy, but if he's not, Michael Pruitt is in his second year. You've added David Morgan, a rookie who I really like. I don't know. I think I like what the Vikings added on offense. So there was no splashy, high-priced free agent wide receiver, but they took a first-rounder as a receiver in Laquon Treadwell. They added a nuts-and-bolts type of player in Alex Boone along the offensive line, and so I'm curious to see what happens on offense.
Ken is very concerned about our offensive line that you seem to be fairly high on, Wabi.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Ken thinks Teddy faced too much pass rush last season, and he wants to know, is there going to be enough time to ensure the right players are locked at the five spots up front?
Yes, there will be enough time. Now, I'm not saying that all the problems are going to be fixed and that you're going to like what you see, but there is enough time to get it done. I mean, no one can say, you know, we didn't have enough time to fix the offensive line. They had a whole offseason, and they did a lot to fix the problem. Rick Spielman, George Payton, and the scouting staff and the coaching staff did a lot. They re-signed Mike Harris. They switched positions with Brandon Fusco. They continued their developing of TJ Clemmings. They added Alex Boone. Sullivan and Loadholt got healthy, re-signed Mike Harris. So, I mean, they did a ton. There's plenty of time to get the job done. They hired a new offensive line coach in Tony Sperano. And so I'm sure it's a work in progress, but I like the Vikings offensive line. I like how it's looking, and I like that there's going to be some depth there. I mean, you're looking at guys like Phil Loadholt, Brandon Fusco or Mike Harris, and Joe Berger. I mean, those guys might not start. Three of those four might not start.
Have you ever been this excited and interested to watch offensive linemen at training camp?
No, definitely not. Maybe when Khalil was a rookie. Like, that was pretty cool.
But that was just one guy.
Yeah, that was just one guy. Now we're talking about the whole group. Yeah, no doubt about it. I can't wait to see what happens at center, at right guard, and at right tackle. I can't wait to see who's going to be the swing tackle. I can't wait to see how Willie Beavers does. I mean, Austin Shepherd was drafted last year, was an important reserve, but he's going to have to compete like hell to keep his spot. And he was just drafted last year, you know, so it's not an embarrassment of riches type situation quite yet. We can't say that, but I really like what the Vikings did this offseason to improve it. So we'll see what happens once we get to training camp, which is when you can really start to evaluate the offensive linemen. I mean, it's really hard to do that during the offseason program. No contact is allowed. And then where you're really going to see it is the Cincinnati practices, don't you think? I mean,
yeah,
when you're practicing against another team and you don't have to have any reservations about certain types of blocks that could injure a teammate of yours. So
Cincinnati's defensive front, nothing to really sneeze at.
Really good.
Either.
Yeah, really good. Domata Petko and Geno Atkins, and yeah, good group there. So, all right, that's it for fan mail.
That's it. There's nothing else to do.
No, we're all done.
That's it?
With this Wobcast.
We'll be honest, the next few Wobcasts are going to be kind of a stretch.
Right.
Going up to training camp.
Right.
Because there's not a lot of developing things to talk about.
Right. But we'll find stuff.
We'll do it.
And by the way, for those of you who like to consume video content on Vikings.com, you're going to have stuff to consume here over the next few weeks. Even though there is no football and training camp is still a few weeks away, we're going to have stuff for you. We're going to have some Between the Lines shows, which I know you've all been missing since the season has ended, but Between the Lines will appear in the off season. We're going to have some assistant coach interviews. That'll be kind of cool. And then some more best ofs from the offseason program will be coming up on the website as well. We'll be back with another edition of the Wobcast very soon, so make sure you stay tuned to that. If you aren't listening to the Wobcast right now via the Vikings app, I encourage you to download the Vikings app. All of our content delivered straight to your mobile device. It is a very efficient way to consume Vikings content and to stay on top of Vikings news. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This edition of the Wobcast is over. I hope everyone has a great weekend and a great 4th. We'll talk to you again soon. So, yeah!